I am so tired of hearing in the world acceptance. And hearing that God is love and that we've got to accept everybody because God loves everyone, and just as if everything is going to heaven no matter what they live, no matter what their lifestyle. Well, you know, while Christ is here on the earth, He dealt with a lot of people that was living lives of sin. And yet, those that He healed, those that He touched, He told them to go and sin no more. And you and I, you know, that's what God still requires of those that wants to be in the center of His will. To keep ourselves from the things of this world. We might be in the world, but He said they're not of the world. And you and I, if we're living here as a Christian, then we need to lay aside the things of this world that are sin. And, you know, you'll hear, as I said, people talk about being intolerant of sin as if it's something awful. That if you're a Christian and holding to a standard that you're a judgmental person, and that's not pleasing to God. Well, me and you as Christians, we're to reach out to those that are lost as Christ did. But we are not to accept people in their sin as being right with God. We are not to accept those that are living blatantly against the Word of God and embrace them as being a Christian because they say that they have been forgiven and have never left their old lifestyle. You and I, when we come to the Lord and we've been forgiven, then we're going to change. We're going to be a new creature. We're going to be that is becoming a Christian. And we go back as we have so many times. Why were they first called Christians? It was because what they were seeing out of them was looked like the life that Christ had lived. Well, you'll find that Christ, they found a lot of fault with Him, not because of anything that He had done wrong, but because that He reached out to the lost. Because that He did not separate Himself into the point of, as the religious leaders did of that day, having a force, but without anything on the inside. Christ was one that reached out to them. Not that He was embracing them in their sin, but that He had something better for them, that He could bring them out of them, give them a new life to work. They no longer had to be bound by whatever the sin was. It made no difference whether it was a harlot or what it was. Christ needs to come and reach out unto them, but not leave them to say they become new. After they knew the Lord. And if there's ever been a time that we need that kind of a change, it's today. We look all over the world and you'll find nudity and sin just running rampant anywhere you want to look. And yet we act like that. It's not hurting us. But it's hurting us more than we could ever realize. Look how it is separating the human family from God and from what God wants us to be. Go all the way back to Genesis there. You'll find God, when He created man and woman, He placed them there in the garden. He didn't put no clothes upon. They didn't need it. Why? Because they had no vision of being naked. He had even restored on them that way. They was just a man and a woman. Doing just exactly what God has come over. But then when the devil comes in and begins to give them the things that
that they were supposed to stay away from. Ten commendations of that, that God said to have no part of. They see that they were naked. They realize we stand in the Lord God with nothing to hide, nothing to keep us from being seen by Him. So they thought
they would hide amongst the trees and the things like that. But they could not hide from God. And you and I today, though we're dressed in the finest clothes, we cannot hide ourselves from God. And though we're naked here physically and find no shame in it, God looks down and He does. You and I today, God wants us to be, well, look, you don't find any place in the Bible where it talked about Christ that He wasn't dressed in a robe. And a robe is something that comes down just right above the ankles. You and I today, I ain't saying that we have to dress in the same type of clothes that Christ dressed in. But I'm saying we must cover our nakedness. We must come out and look like a Christian no matter where we're at. We must be that would be pleasing in the sight of God. If you'd like to read with us in Ephesians, I don't know what we're going to preach today, but since we've come to church, this is the third scripture that God has given me. I come to church thinking I'm going to be preaching on one thing, and then as I walk into Sunday school, there was something else come to me, and I thought I would be preaching on that. And I come up and sat down in the pulpit, and then it changed under them. You and I today, we better be ready to follow God. It makes no difference what time of the day or night it is. If we don't follow Him, who do we follow? Just like those in the garden of Eden, they only know God. They're the one that created them, the one that placed them there and gave them their duty. That's all they know. But it didn't take the Lord to start following something else. You and I today, we better be willing to follow God on a moment's notice. Did not give in to the things of this world. Alright, in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Listen close to this scripture. Start with the 10th verse. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and having no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, not only are you not to have fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but He said, rather reprove them. Don't be tolerant of them, but stand up and speak out against them. And you and I today, if there's ever been a time that we need to find what is it that's acceptable by God, listen, it said, proving what is acceptable unto God. How do we find out what's acceptable to God? By that Holy Spirit dealing with it. Let us know a person with their laws, and they come to church, the Lord is going to deal with them and let them know that they need Him. Let them know that the Lord, why before it will begin to deal in the heart, and it will begin to speak to them. They'll see that in their condition, they need a Savior, they're in sin, they haven't been forgiven, but then when they get right with the Lord, and you walk out of church, as a saint that you come to God back with, in the world, as the devil comes to with His temptation, God's going to be there to let you know what's right and what's wrong, what's acceptable unto Him. And you and I, when we know something is not acceptable, then we are not to embrace that, or to accept it as being all right. You know, I've had people in my lifetime even to say, well, I used to think so-and-so was wrong, but I no longer do because everybody's doing it. That don't change the fact if God showed you something was wrong, you better listen to the word of the Lord and not what everybody is doing. Because it's very easy to turn around and see the majority of the world is on the road to hell. And I know people don't like to hear that. They act like you're judgmental, but that's what the Word of God said. And you and I were supposed to stand upon that. And right there, and what I read to you said, rather reprove them. What does that mean? All the things of sin. If you read earlier in this chapter, the third verse it said, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as the you and I today look around at the things of the world that people are willing to accept today and say that it's alright. We need a God denomination that used to once stand against homosexuality, but today they'll ordinate into the pulpit. What day did God's rules change? No, it is saved because it becomes accepted. And that you must accept it into the church. But he said, reprove it. Don't want to let it become even mentioned as being slain. Or that is acceptable unto God. You and I today, we must come down before an all-righteous God. See ourselves in these things. Then we'll know just what God is willing to accept. You know, I realize the world has changed a whole lot to what it was when Christ walked here upon the earth. But do you realize He gave the answers then for today's situation? And He only knew that because He was God. He knew all that you and I would face all the way unto the end. When He was there walking with His disciples and teaching them the things that they would turn around and teach and would put in print for you and I to have today, He knew all that I give them was all that you're going to need until I come again. And if it had been something that was going to change out in the future, He would have put a time limit on it and said, this is only good for a certain time. But God said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I changed on. Christ said, I'm the living Word. It's not going to change. If God don't change, what's right with God 1,000 years ago is what's right today. And if we live 1,000 years, it'll still be right. It's not going to change. We must come into the Word of God and not accept the way that man wants to change it. You know, if we would just have a dictionary with the definitions of words back 50 or 100 years ago, and then pick up one today with those exact same words and read the definitions, you'd see how drastically we have changed the meaning of words, and a lot of it to soothe our conscience, to try and justify ourselves. But you know, it's not going to work, because God, when He sent His Word, He sent it with the definition He intended it to be. And you and I, He said, prove what is acceptable unto the Lord. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You and I, that's what God wants us to do. You know, I can remember back in the Bible where God told men things and He gave them a chance to find out if that's exactly what God wanted. He didn't mind if a person wanted to be sure. God did not like somebody to question Him
about whether it was right or wrong, or whether God had the authority. But God did not mind the person questioning, "Is this really what you want me to do? I don't want to do anything wrong. I want to know this is from you, and this is what you want." And then when they fell down, put all of themselves into it, God did not mind me to do it. Get on their knees and say, "God, I want to know that I'm in your will. God, is this what you want?" And when he says yes, get up with all strength and follow it. Be an obedient to it. Prove it what's acceptable unto God. And then be just exactly what he wants us to be. And if we will, we'll find God will still bless us, and we can walk in the center of his will. But today, so many are trying to change the things of God. You know, the Bible speaks about it. And heap to themselves teachers have an itching ear. In other words, they get somebody that would say what they wanted to hear. That one that they could lead around instead of that one. You know, look back in the Bible. The prophets of God was not men that was led around by popular opinion. They was men that spoke what God said when everybody else was against them. Look at Elijah there when he had come and the prophets of Baal. 400 prophets of Baal and him. And he was mocking and making fun of them. And he thought he was the only one. God revealed to him, "You're not." But he thought, "I'm the only one." Yet he was standing against them all. God don't ask me and you to take the easy road. He says, "Go and I'll go with you. Prove that it's acceptable unto me. And stand on it. And listen to this. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." You and I, does it do me any good to go up to an alcoholic, a drug addict, a homosexual, anything else you want to name out there, a whoremonger, anything that you want to name out there of the world, and go up to them and say, "I say, well, the way you're living is wrong. That person is in adultery. I don't go up to them and tell them, 'I don't believe you're right. You need to change.' The only thing I can do is stand a chance of reaching out and taking the word of God. Give them what God's word said. Why? Because your father is telling me and said it's given for correction and reproof. My words reproving somebody are just false. It don't matter where it's born. But the words of God, it carries a heavy weight. He said it'll grind to the powder. You and I today, that's what God wants. Some friends to say it and pat somebody on the back. They're wrong. And thank my love. We can gain on show true love. Stand up before. He's the one we have to obey. It makes no difference whether you believe me or not. But if you don't believe God's word, when you stand before him, you'll wish you had. Because that word on that day is going to reprove man for the last time. And all who did not abide by, did not bring their life in accordance to what God's word says, will find themselves being cast into the lake of fire. And you and I know you'll hear people say, "Oh, that's only a figure of speech. That there's really not literally a lake of fire." Well, you'll find in the Bible where it spoke about the rich man
It said, in hell, he lifted up his eye, being in torment in the flame. And what was he asking for? He is asking for water, just to cool his tongue. You and I, if we don't reach our people and those that we love here with God's Word, we don't have a chance of reaching them. Our words, if God's Word don't reach them, our words will never make a difference. But if we speak the Word of God unto them, and we show them this is God's Word, then they have no excuse. And if they get mad at you, talk about you, have nothing to do with you, you didn't lose a friend. If you stood upon God's Word, you move closer to a friend that says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. I've had a lot of people, even preachers, that I once thought was real good friends and buddies, but because I would not compromise on the Word of God, they have nothing to do with me now. But God's Word does not change. We must stand upon it. We must be faithful unto it, because when we're dead and gone, God's Word is still going to stand. You know, my dad, he's dead. Preached for 63 years. I can remember hearing Dad, when I was a kid, preaching and talking about when he was still preaching to churches that was run over. Houses couldn't hold all the people that was coming. And Dad's still talking at that time about the one that had walked away that no longer wanted to live according to the Word of God. But because that Dad did not change, and he kept preaching the exact same Word, the Bible don't change. So what else are we going to preach if we're called of God? We must preach the Word. And because he kept staying with that and preaching the exact same message over and over again, telling the people just what God required, the crowds kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. The end of his life, he was preaching to just a handful, but God was still real to him. He said most people did not want to live according to it. Well, you say that today in the churches where the houses, they just keep building bigger and bigger, and their hands are happy. Oh, you must be doing something wrong. We can build a church big enough to hold them all, but when you get to digging into the Word, they won't tell anybody about adultery. They won't tell anybody about fornication. They won't tell anybody about their sin and what it's going to cost them. Just that you're a good fellow, come and worship with her and go to heaven with her. But you and I, we must do something, and we're going to be a Christian and live a Christian life. We must come and repent of our sin and then come out of them. You know, there's as much difference in a Christian and a church member as there is a Rolls Royce and a model Ford. And yet, most people, they just think automobiles are automobiles, so what difference does it make? And they think a Christian's a Christian, a church member's a church member, we're all going to the same place. You know, according to the Bible, it don't talk about being a member of the local church down here as changing me and you at all. But when we come a member of the family of God, then we have been changed. And that's what we need to do today. We need to concentrate upon that 10th verse, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That should be a Christian's main thing in their life, proving what is acceptable unto God. And then following it. You know, when I used to be in construction, with every building that we got, that we was going to be building, come a set of blueprints, and then along with those blueprints, come a whole bunch of instructions telling you what was required to accomplish what the blueprints had drawn. And, you know, with this building, it might have you the layout and everything, but those blueprints does not show you the depth of the concrete. It does not show you a lot of the things like that that goes into the footings. That comes in these notes that comes along with you to tell you what it takes to put down a foundation that will support that building once you put it on. That's what the Bible is. It's telling you and I what the foundation is to support our Christian life. And if we don't accept that foundation, we cannot build a Christian life that's going to be acceptable unto God. First of all, we've got to accept the foundation. Because He said, this is the rock that you're to build upon. Christ said, I'm He. And you and I, we must come to that. And without it, we will never be pleasing unto God. Without following the very instructions that God gives for us to live in our daily life. You know, all of the instructions that's given in the Bible, that's not just how we're to be in church. That's how we're to live our daily lives. When we come to church, we should be coming with a joyous heart to praise God. To lift up praise unto Him. For all the things that He had done for us through the week, we should be coming in rejoicing, ready to give a sacrifice of praise unto Him, presenting ourselves, that living sacrifice. Lord, You've blessed me all week, and I've come today to praise You, Lord. I've come today to lift up holy hands unto You, Lord. I come today that my life might be acceptable unto You, because I've examined myself this week. I forgive the Troy, Lord, and the best of my knowledge. I've accepted Your word 100%. Hardly in my daily life. I come today, Lord, to present myself to You, to sing praises unto Your name. And if we've lived acceptable unto Him, when we come to His house, we'll find the Spirit will be there to bless us. Well, we get some song to sing. If there's something in your life that you need to pray about, why not get on your knees and call upon God? You know, what we read to you there, nobody likes reproof. You know, when I was a kid growing up, I enjoyed somebody bragging on me. But I didn't like reproof and correction. But do you realize what made me a better person was always the proof and correction? That, oh, you're good. You've done a good job and all that. That makes you feel good for a little while. But if you're a typical lazy person, after a while, you'll forget that and you'll go back to your old way. But that whipping that got your attention, the next time when it come around to do something wrong, you remember that whipping. And that correction and that reproof, it stuck with you more, didn't it? It's what molded you. You know, you can take the finest of gold and you can pour it out onto the ground and it'll just run. And what happens to it? It gets contaminated because it's hot and it will pick up all the impurities around it. And the only way to get it cleaned back out is to put it back in the fire and get it real hot again and get all that out of it. But if you put that in a good, clean mold, and you can mold it into whatever you want,
And it will become valuable. Why? Because it's pure gold. And it's been shaped into whatever it might be.
You and I, God wants us to be pure gold in His hands and to allow Him to mold us into what He wants us to be. And if we are, each and every day of our life, we become more valuable unto God. And God will become more important unto us. While we sing, will you come? What's the desires of your heart today? Don't rebel against reproof or correction. Yield yourself unto it.